Special night. But you know what? Back on that very night, it was just another night. It's just another night. People going around doing what they do every day, working at the jobs they did every day. And I want to read you from Luke chapter 2, beginning verse 8 through 18. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, just doing what they did every other night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts proclaiming God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the sayings which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told. So here you have a group of individuals, a bunch of guys, doing what they do every night of the week. They're watching over their sheep, protecting their sheep from elements and from predators, and just trying to earn a living and survive going through everyday life. But what happens on this night? First thing we read is an angel showed up. But if you look a little closer, more than the angel showed up. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them in verse 9, and the glory of the Lord was around them. The glory of the Lord came with the angels, with the angel that came. For those that don't know, the glory of the Lord is a reference to the awesome presence of God showing up. We read in the Old Testament when King Solomon built the temple and when they went to worship, that the glory of God fell on that temple so heavy that everyone fell on their face and was just blown away and didn't want to move. They couldn't move because the glory of the Lord was so powerful in that moment. And what happens when the glory of the Lord shows up? The Lord is ministering to the people. It's the presence of God literally touching the people as His glory just surrounds and embraces them. So imagine wherever you may have been, as these shepherds were that night. An angel showed up. That was freaky enough. But then the glory of the Lord also surrounded them. So now they were beginning to feel things that they never felt before. You know, when we pray for somebody to be healed who's never been to church, doesn't know anything about Jesus, and we're praying for a specific area, and the glory of the Lord shows up, they begin to feel heat. And I love watching their responses, because their response is, "Wow, that's so weird. I feel heat here. I don't get it. What's going on?" And we say, well, when we pray, when we line our hearts up with God and we are praying, God wants to heal a certain area, you're going to feel heat in that area. In the same way, these shepherds were feeling something, sensing something around them they never felt before. They were blown away. And God, right there and then, was wooing their hearts. He was ministering to them. He was reaching them where they were in what they were doing every day of their lives. To anyone else in this world, they were a group of insignificant shepherds. That's what I loved about this story. They were just a group of insignificant people. But to God, they were extremely significant. They were very important because He knew who they were. And Jesus died that all men would know Him because He loves them all. Not the rich or over the poor or the poor over the rich. He died that all men, women, and children will know His love. That's why Jesus came in the first place. But the glory of the Lord surrounded these guys. They were touched by Him. He touched them. God Himself showed up and touched them along with His messenger, the angel. Then, as they were being touched and in awe of what was going on, what do we read? A host of heavenly angels then showed up with this angel, the initial angel, and they began to hear what angels were singing. Remember, for those that know this, and for those that don't, in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, he has a vision where he's taken up to heaven, and he looks and he sees that he finds himself in the heavenly throne room of God. And he sees angels and archangels blessing and praising God, giving glory to God. This is very similar to that. They're getting a glimpse of heaven. See, when the presence of God touches us, we're getting a touch from heaven. We're getting a glimpse of what heaven's like. We know heaven is perfect. We know that our decaying, beaten down, worn bodies are going to be fully restored and healed in heaven. We're going to be perfect in heaven. They were getting a touch from heaven of what it was like. They were tasting and seeing how amazingly good God is. And they weren't rabbis. They weren't priests. They weren't major religious figures. They were a group of guys being faithful to their families, being faithful in the things they do every day of their lives. And these angels show up. But this is what I love. After the angels had gone away, what did they do? They immediately looked at each other. And they said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass. Let's go see what we just heard about, what took place, which the Lord had made known to us. Imagine that. They were touched by God. They had a glimpse of what heaven was like. Now they're excited. They're saying, let's go see what God is doing. We want to be a part of what God is doing. See, our walk of faith isn't, I accept Jesus in my heart and that's it. It's now I have a relationship. I get to commune every day with Jesus. And I want to be a part of what He's doing. I want to be engaged with Him in what He's doing. So they got the glimpse of what God the Father was doing, what heaven was like. In that touch. And they said, you know what? We want to be a part of it. We want to be a big part of it. And when they had seen the baby, when they got to the manger, what was the first thing they did? We read about. They made widely known the saying which was told to them. They began to brag. They began to speak what was revealed to them. They began to share with everybody their testimony. See, guys, we don't have to be eloquent in speech. You don't have to be seminary, Bible school trained. When you have that relationship with God and you allow God to just touch you, and invade your life, and you make that choice. Jesus, let me just be a part of what you're doing. You have the power of your testimony. That is more powerful than anything else that can come. And again, where is this testimony coming from? a group of shepherds who were laying in the field, middle of the night, trying to stay awake, protecting their sheep. All of a sudden, what are they? They've now become evangelistic. They became evangelists. They can't help but express that great news that Jesus, what Jesus is doing and what they saw. And all those around them, verse 18, who heard it, they marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherd. And then we read at the end, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. They were touched by God. They saw a revelation of heaven. They were obedient now to what they saw. They took a step of faith, you know. They could have just said, oh, that wasn't cool. Maybe we were just having some kind of, you know, funky vision. Maybe we ate something funny. Or somebody threw something in our fire and is making us a little loopy. But they took a step of faith and said, let's go check this out. See, God blesses our steps of faith. God blesses when we take a chance. When we say, Lord, this is ridiculous. This is unbelievable. I don't get it 100%. I can't quite figure out. It doesn't make sense. But it sounds amazingly awesome. So I'm gonna trust you. I'm just going to trust you and step into this thing. And they stepped into it. They began to impact everybody around them because they took that step of faith. And what happened? The Lord blessed their words. They left glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen and was told to them. They became more impactful than any Bible scholar of the day in that moment, because they allowed God to do what he wanted to do with them. That night, them seeing that baby, that revelation coming true, God blessing them for taking that step of faith, changed their lives forever. And what do we know about Scripture during that time? When the head of a household accepts Christ, when a head of the household is changed for the kingdom of God, that head goes back and the whole household is saved. The entire household is saved. So these shepherds, plural, heard, received, accepted that touch, moved in faith, acted in faith, then praised God for what they had heard and seen, went home and changed their families forever. And how many others heard this amazing testimony along the way? How many others were changed simply by their testimony, who may have never visited the manger where Jesus was born? How many were touched by that? Trying not to laugh. So many of us are exactly those shepherds. Kind of felt what the Lord was saying to share with you tonight is, you are this shepherd. You are like these shepherds, you and I. And here's the cool thing about these shepherds. They were shepherds to sheep, protecting, providing, nourishing them, taking them to fields for nourishment. Now these shepherds walk away, shepherds to men, because they are now nourishing the people around them with the food of God, with the Spirit of God, with the blessing of God. Remember when Jesus said to his disciples, you're fishermen, I'm going to make you fishers of men? It's the same thing as here. You are shepherds. Now you're of sheep, now I'm going to make you shepherds of men. Because they were able now to lead men and women and children and families to the saving grace of Jesus. That's what they heard. That's what they saw. That's what they were touched by. That's what they were loved by. That's what they accepted. That's what they stepped into. That's what they were moved into. And that's when they walked out praising God. See, in Scripture, we read a lot about people going in and going out. And when you read that, that's a reference to going into the presence of God, getting what you need from God, and then when you go out, you're taking with you what God has poured into you so you can give it away. You can pass it away so others can be blessed and touched by it. So these shepherds went into the presence of God. But when they walked away with some amazing things that they were able to give away, which is their story, their testimony, the truth of who Jesus is. But every one of us is a shepherd. Every one of us has this testimony. Some of us might have been touched by God in church. Some of us in our home. Some of us at a home group or prayer meeting. Some of us, when we were little kids, we accepted Christ as our Savior. And this is the story that we were in pageants about. Others, as we were adults. But it doesn't matter what your age or your circumstance. The fact is, you're the one Jesus came for. You're the one Jesus wanted to reveal himself to. God is always working. His presence is around us, but we just sometimes don't see it with our eyes. So, Father, would you give us spiritual eyes to see? Would you give us your heart to feel and know as the shepherds did? Would you release, Lord, heavenly sight that we can see where your hand is moving in our lives? It's not an accident any one of us is here tonight. You are a shepherd, but you're also, you might be a shepherd to those in your workplace or in your family, but you're also meant to be a shepherd to others who need the nourishment of the Word of God, of the presence of God, of the love of God. All you have to do is release that love to them. And it comes in your testimony. You don't need to debate. You don't need to argue. This is what God did for me. I'm sharing with you. I'm releasing it to you. You can accept it or not. That's your choice. But this is what he's did and is doing in my life right here, right now. In Revelation, we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We overcome the things daily by our testimony, by what Jesus did for us in shedding his blood for us. We release that love into people's lives. So tonight, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to open your hearts and your minds to be touched by God. And I want to do something very unique, and I'm feeling like the Holy Spirit saying we need to do this right now. I'm going to ask Luke if you can continue to play. I want you all to stand up with me for a second. I want you to position yourself in a receiving position. And for those that don't know, that's just simply, if it means opening up your hands, opening up your heart, your mind, like you're receiving a gift, because I believe God wants to give, if not all of us today, at least some of us, those who want to receive a special gift. So I just want you to just clear your heart, your mind, no distractions, no looking around, just look from within. And just simply, I'm going to ask Holy Spirit to come right now. And just as your glory, God, came with the angel and surrounded them and they were touched by you, Lord, I'm asking that Holy Spirit come and every person in this room right now get a touch of you somehow, some way. From the youngest to the oldest, that they know you are there and you love them. Let there be a touch of love right now. Holy Spirit, come more, Lord, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, more. More, Holy Spirit. Come. Just blow over us. Blow over. Some of you might feel warm, a sense of warm. Some of you, just a calmness and a peace, supernatural peace might come over you. That's just simply God saying, I love you. Saying, I haven't forgotten about you. I know you. You're meant to be my shepherd, to impact my sheep. Holy Spirit, just come right now. Just minister. Just bless each person here right now with your presence and your power. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I want to release you right now to lift up a praise to Him as you feel led to. If it means saying simply thank you, just worship Him. Just we're gonna do this just a few more seconds. But I just want to make sure Holy Spirit does His work before we move on to anything else. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for thinking so highly of us right now. Thank you for sending your Son, leaving your throne for a manger, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. If you were touched by Him, just say thank you to Him. Just simply say thank you to Him. Thank you, Lord. See, the beautiful thing is, it was a group of shepherds that saw this. Group of shepherds that felt it, that were impacted by it. And it was a group that moved together to go see Jesus. And when the time was right, they went back together. They went back together. There was unity among them. So tonight, we're going to take communion as we close in a little bit. Because communion symbolizes unity. It symbolizes our union with Christ and what He's done for us, but our union with each other in Christ as brothers and sisters in the faith. Each should have a communion cup. It has the host and the juice in there. The top thin lid is for the host, and the bottom one is for the juice, for those who've never used these before. Our communion is the open communion, so you are welcome to take communion with us. So that night, many years later, 33 years later, after this night that we celebrated, Jesus gathered in unity with His disciples. He brought them together as one. And He took the bread and He broke it. And He said, you're going to eat this, and this is my body broken for you. Every time you do this, you come together in one accord with me and break this bread. And we know bread is a reference also to the Word of God, because Jesus is also known as the Word of God, and He's known as the bread of life. As you break this bread and you come and eat together, do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat. And then after dinner, He took the cup. He said, this is the blood of my covenant. This is my promise to you that I'll never leave you or forsake you. This is my promise to you that when you join me, I'm always going to be with you. That I love you. And as I shared yesterday and last week, there's nothing you and I can do to make Jesus love us more than he already does. God is love. So he is the perfection of love. So he can't be more perfect than perfection. So there's nothing you and I can do that would make him love us more. You are loved as you are, as those shepherds were. And that's his promise, that he died because of how much he loves you. And he wants you with him. So each time you drink, we drink knowing that it's for our sins he bled and died for his purpose, for our purpose in his glory, in Jesus' name. Let us drink. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for loving us as much as you do and doing all that you do for us. Thank you that no matter what has happened in our lives, you have never given up on us. And that we might not think greatly of ourselves, like those shepherds didn't think too much of themselves, but you held us in high regard. In your name, we thank you, Father. Amen. Would you stand with me one more time, and we're going to close with Silent Night.